Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for Holy Trinity Sunday, 2007.
A reading from the Book of Proverbs. Thus says the wisdom of God, "The Lord possessed me, the beginning of his ways, the forerunner of his prodigies of long ago. From of old I was poured forth, at the first, before the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no fountains or springs of water. Before the mountains were settled into place, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet the earth and fields were not made, nor the first clods of the world. When the Lord established the heavens, I was there. When he marked out the vault over the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he fixed fast the foundations of the earth, when he set for the sea its limits, so that the water should not transgress his command, then I was beside him as a craftsman, and I was his delight day by day, playing before him all the while, playing on the surface of the earth, and I found delight in the human race." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O Lord our God, how wonderful your name in all the earth.
O Lord our God, how wonderful your name in all the earth.
When I behold your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place, what is man that you should be mindful of him, or the son of man that you should care for him?
O Lord our God, How wonderful your name in all the earth.
You have made him little less than the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him rule over the works of your hands, putting all things under his feet.
O Lord our God, how wonderful your name in all the earth.
All sheep and oxen, yes, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fishes of the sea, and whatever swims the paths of the seas.
O Lord our God, how wonderful your name in all the earth.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we even boast of our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today it's Father Mark, Brian, and Dawn in the studio.
As you can tell, we've invited Brian back to be with us.
That's right, even though I'm not here at the parish anymore.
Well, we might be confusing people, Brian. Why don't you explain a little bit?
Well, we record these things we're recording a few of them early because I'm going to be going off to Mexico, and so we're just stockpiling them, and so you're not getting them the week that they're recorded like we usually do.
Right. Don't cry, though. Brian will be back soon.
Yes, hopefully I'm enjoying my experience in Mexico.
You having a good time, Brian?
I know. It's interesting. It's nice that I can give a shout-out to myself. If for a few weeks from now. Maybe I know a little bit of Spanish by now.
He'll be learning, he'll be listening to this on the beach.
That's right. Vámonos a la playa.
That's right.
Anyway, on to our readings for today. Father Mark, I know that you said you found you had some interesting analysis you drew from the wisdom literature. Would you like to share that with us?
Sure. I was reading about wisdom literature in the Old Testament, and there were two types of wisdom literature. One deals with advice, like practical advice, living a well-ordered life and kind of learning how to live a well-disciplined life. But the second type was more reflective and critical and looking at maybe the deeper meaning of life. And I found that that first reading from Proverbs was more along that lines where, you know, kind of giving the deeper meaning of, you know, wisdom is there when all was made, and wisdom is being very playful in the reading and talking about, you know, just the joy of creation. So I see that, that second type of wisdom literature very present in our reading today.
So, what are some examples of books from the Bible that are wisdom literature in general?
Well, I mean, some of them would be, the wisdom literature I know would include the Book of Wisdom, amongst other things.
Oh.
Proverbs is usually included in that, and that's where today's reading comes from. I believe Job is considered one of the wisdom books there.
Song of Songs.
The Song of Songs. It's a Song of Songs. If I could speak here, the Song of Songs. And those books, like you said, usually have a lot to do with, you know, some of it is some very practical ideas for living out our daily lives, and other things that we hear are these more deeper meaning things, and definitely that's what we have today, because often, as we know, even when we live our lives, sometimes we can be very good people, do very good things, and yet we're not the ones who become famous or multi-billionaires and have all the good return to us. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, and vice versa. Sometimes good things happen to people who have not been all that good. I mean, you could think of any number of dictators who've been in charge of nations and things, but they've not really been good people, yet they live pretty nice and pleasant lives as other people are serving them, basically.
I think really the wisdom readings can call us to the more of that deeper introspection of our life, you know, so that we aren't just staying at the surface. You know, it's the same thing that Jesus is doing in the gospel reading, you know, by telling his disciples that, you know, the Spirit is going to come and it'll help you understand what you have experienced and heard and seen by what I was doing. You know, so it's really going to take them some time to really reflect upon the experience of Christ in their life. And it's the same for us, I think, that, you know, when we can really take the time, whether it be through, you know, some quiet time in our day or at Mass or even on retreat, to be able to just step back and take that, I guess, that wisdom time to allow God to really penetrate us and allow us to be transformed by the experiences that we have in our life.
Yeah, another thing I was thinking in terms of that whole wisdom piece is wisdom is one of the gifts associated with the Holy Spirit, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this will also bring us into our gospel, because that's ultimately what Jesus is talking about, the need for wisdom. And a lot of times it gets confused when you look at these gifts of the Holy Spirit, because knowledge is another one. People say, well, what's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Where knowledge would be an understanding of earthly kind of things, but wisdom is about deeper truths. And so when we're talking about this wisdom literature here, it's about deeper truths. It's not about knowledge of the world or, you know, how scientific stuff works in our world around us, but deeper and actually spiritual truths that are out there about the type of people we are, the type of people we want to become, and the type of people that God wants us to become. And I think that's kind of what Jesus is beginning to get into in the gospel reading today, where he tells his disciples that you're not going to understand all this at once. I'm going to send you, you know, the Spirit will be with you, and you'll be able to gradually understand these truths. And for me, at least, I find that's been my experience throughout my life, is as I continue on life, you know, gradually I begin to get things more and more, deeper spiritual things. I think it's also been my experience that a lot of times people who are older and have more life experience tend to, I find, be a lot wiser than me. The only exception is Father Mark.
Oh, jeez. Well, it sort of goes with that, but in the second reading today, it's one of my very favorites. And actually, we did a teen retreat a few months ago, and we based it totally on this one passage, talking about that we boast in our afflictions, because the afflictions produce endurance, and endurance produces character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint. But it's that life experience, like you're saying. I mean, it's hard to think about boasting in our afflictions, but if we persevere through all of these things, it produces character, and then we go on and on. And so it's not an immediate thing. A lot of times it's time that it takes.
I mean, how many of us would, in time of affliction, actually want to pray for, you know, please let this time, you know, last forever so I can grow in wisdom? You know, nobody would ever say that, but really what God is saying is, however long it takes, whatever the affliction or the trial might be, that there is wisdom and hope to be gained in that experience. And if we are faithful enough and persevere enough, we will grow into that wisdom that is being given to us.
Yeah, I'm right there with you guys on that. I think I didn't catch that originally, but there really is a real sense in which our own past and through, you know, our own struggles, we do grow in that wisdom. And I think it's why people who are older, people who have more life experience, tend to have more of that wisdom, because they understand a lot of times this isn't the end of the world, whatever crisis is currently bothering me, and they've had the experience of dealing with these things. They also, I think, have come to some sort of peace with their own shortcomings. And I think that's a real key point to our own spiritual lives, is can we come to peace with the fact that we aren't perfect? And that, for me, I know it's a struggle, and I think it is for many people, because we'd like to view ourselves as being these perfect people, but really, when we can admit that we're not perfect and that we need other people, that's when we can become open to God, letting God into our lives. A lot of times, if we get this impression that we're perfect, we don't need anybody, I'm fine on my own, what happens is we also, while pushing out other people, we also push God and push the Spirit out.
You're right. Today is the feast, we're celebrating the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity. Do either of you have any insight on that feast day?
I heard a talk a couple of years ago. It was interesting, out at the University of Rochester. It was done by Dr. Scott Appleby, who is a professor of the University of Notre Dame. Go Irish. And anyway, but one of the things that he was saying is, a lot of times on Holy Trinity Sunday, one of the things that you hear often is the priest will get up and he'll say, well, you know, Aquinas couldn't figure this out, Augustine couldn't figure it out, so why should we even try? And he said, that's just such a bad ideology or bad preaching on the Holy Trinity, he said. But it is something that comes up. I mean, ultimately, we have to admit that this is a mystery, something that's beyond us. But at the same time, I think it's something that we need to reflect upon and say, how does this impact our lives, or how can we relate to God, and what do we learn from the Trinity? And one of the things that I always find powerful about the Trinity is that the Trinity itself is relationship. And it's the relationship of the Father and the Son, and the Father and the Son, their love for each other is so powerful that it's procreative. It creates a whole other person of the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit. And so what we learn is, at the very essence of what it is to be God, is relationship. And when we're talking about some of the themes we were talking about from the readings today, where I mentioned the idea of pushing people away and I can do this on my own versus saying I need other people, I need to be in relationship with other people because I can't do it all, I think that that's part of the way in which we can enter into that relationship with God and to become more God-like, is by recognizing that we aren't, I mean, even God is not, you know, isolated. God is relationship, and we're put on this earth to be in relationship with other people, with God, with the church, with the people around us, with our society, our culture. I think that's a very important thing that we can learn from the concept of the Trinity.
I was talking to Dawn earlier and was saying that my ordination to priesthood was on the weekend of Holy Trinity Sunday. So my Mass of Thanksgiving at my home parish was celebrated on Holy Trinity Sunday. And you know, I look at where I was then and where I am now, 4 years later, And I do see that, like you're saying, that whole aspect of relationship and how, you know, and as Jesus said to his disciples, you know, that there will be this growth in wisdom through the gift of the Spirit. You know, you will understand eventually what it was and what it is that I am doing here in this plan of salvation. And I guess I could say the same thing, you know, that I am still growing on this journey through priesthood and have learned that it's really through the sacraments and the people in the community that the Trinity is mystery and that they put some flesh to that mystery, you know. So like this morning, just celebrating the school mass with the kids at St. Mary's School here was just a wonderful manifestation of the Trinity and the Spirit in my life. And it was just so nice to be with the kids one last time before I go to my new assignment. But even beyond that, to see the wider community and the different people that are immersed in this community and the different expressions of their own faith in God and how that gets expressed. And so it's really opened my eyes and my heart and my spirit to a greater understanding of that mystery of the Spirit, even after 4 years of ordination. So I realize that this is going to be a lifelong journey for me, you know, through all the many years of priesthood and ministry, that it'll be growing into the greater depth of the mystery of the Trinity.
And I think on that note, we're going to end because we're coming to the end of our time here on the podcast. We thank you for joining us and hope that you will continue to join us every week on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week and God bless.